Here we are, boys, for the NBA playoff edition. I'm hoping to be firing up these every week with Yags and Benny, but welcome, Yags.
Thank you, Landy. Always a pleasure.
Benny?
Good to be back. Thanks, Landy.
So let's get into it. I'm literally the toiest bloke in Vic to do this podcast, as you can probably tell with my excitement. But let's start with the pool party. Where else could we start?
Yes, the son of the Splash Brothers, the heir to the throne.
Benny?
Yeah, it's got a nice bit of irony to it that Stephen Clay had a kid and their offspring is named after a body of water. So
we absolutely love to see it. But anyway, at work today, the pool party was in full effect and I was having the best time. Everyone was invited. To see a young bull fire up like that, he's 22 years old. After having Anthony Edwards go off the other day and he's 20 years old, it's just extremely exciting to see. And for me and Benny especially, in the second and third quarter, when we just started firing up and we had like 70 points in 19 minutes or something like that, it was literally like I couldn't have even dreamed of a more enjoyable two quarters for me to watch. Like it was just absolutely perfect. I want to get into some quick stats on the lineup, which is still yet to find a name that I'm super happy with, just based on Warriors Twitter and whatever. There's been a few going around, like the new death lineup, but we can maybe try and come up with some names later. But to start it off, so in this playoffs, and I'm going to get a bit nerdy straight up. In these playoffs, the lineup of Steph, Poole, Clay, Draymond, and Wiggins has played 11 minutes, and their net rating is 129.3. And to put that into kind of like give that a bit more context, I've gone through the teams with the best net ratings of all time. And, for example, the 1995-96 Chicago Bulls, which is seen as one of the best teams of all time, have a net rating of 13.4. And if you want me to repeat that stat, the Warriors in these two games have a net rating of 129.3. So it's absolutely absurd. Benny, what are your thoughts on this lineup?
It's got a lot of potential, obviously, like the three-guard lineup and the way that they complement each other. You've got like Steph and Poole, and they offer something slightly different. Like with Poole, with that first step, he's so explosive. That bit of creation that he has. Obviously, Clay spreads the floor as well, and Wiggins has held his own from beyond the arc. And the ability for like Draymond to just facilitate with that around him, it certainly gives the lineup a very high ceiling. I don't think Denver possesses anything to counter it in terms of any kind of defensive adjustments they can make. And likewise, they don't really have the supporting cast around Jokic to maybe expose the question of this lineup, which is sort of like if you've got Steph and Poole in the same lineup, do you have enough length? Do you have enough height, strength to make it? You know, I think it's only got to kind of be an average defensive lineup if they are going to be this potent. You know, they're obviously not going to maintain the numbers they've got at the moment. I actually wrote down the same stat along with their offensive and defensive rating at the moment. It's 204.3 offensively and 75 defensively. So, but, you know, so it'll be intriguing to see, like, when you have Memphis or even Minnesota, they possess more size, more length, or athleticism, and then, you know, whatever happens after that, if you get to Phoenix, how this lineup stands up. But I do think also additionally to that, like the Warriors have other alternatives that they can go to as well.
Yeah, agreed. Yags, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, look, Poole has been nothing short of incredibly impressive in both games. Yeah, I think he's dropped 59 over the two games, so averaging 29.5, I think that is. But yeah, he's a complete bull, and he has improved dramatically since he came into the league. I think, Landy, you said that his first 16 games or something of his career, he had the worst field goal percentage ever.
Yeah.
So to go from that to literally dominating playoff games is is a serious jump. It's like me playing, you know, AFL right now. So it's a drastic improvement. It's incredible. And I think that Denver, like as Benny said, Denver don't offer anything in any respite offensively or defensively because they rely so much on one guy who's just been exposed in this series. Not in a way that he's choking Jokic, but just because of you guys have like seven or eight options. They've got one, and you've got probably the best defensive player of the past 10 years defending him. So they can't do anything in response. So whether this can last against a Memphis or a Phoenix is another question. But I do think that where I had you guys ranked maybe a month or two ago when you weren't playing very well and seemed to be struggling and seemed to be like Phoenix were kind of morals for the West, I now think that your ceiling is high enough to win the championship. Whether, if you can keep this up, I don't know if that's possible, but at the moment it all seems very rosy. But I think there's tougher tests to come. But yeah, you got to be very impressed.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I think my, obviously the number one concern always in the playoffs, especially with this team, which we've just, the whole year we've been struggling to keep everyone on the floor, but it's obviously health. In regards, what's been really exciting is that Draymond's back looks outstanding. He's welcoming any challenge, and Jokic is obviously a big body who's happy to bump into you in the post again and again and again. I think it was just awesome to see. So obviously with what Benny was saying about what you give up in defense with that lineup, it kind of goes back to the old basketball statement of like better offense always beats defense, like any sort of defense, because like you can always hit a shot that and play perfect defense, but you can still hit the shot. So in that sense, it's kind of exciting to see because there's not many lineups that can outshoot the three guard lineup. I think another obviously very impressive thing is Klay Thompson, who's playing absolutely out of his skin. Like literally a month and a half ago, everyone was saying, yeah, look, it's not really going to happen for him this year, but he looks fluid. He looks healthy. He looks like he's put on a bit more size. I think he came in a bit underdone to maybe try and take some weight off his legs. But it looks like he's kind of worked himself into shape because obviously you do less cardio. Like in regards to his rehab, he would have been doing a lot more running than he is now. So that's also interesting. He's holding up on defense, welcoming challenges. He doesn't look like he has that much of a mental factor, which can often be a huge issue for people coming back from ACLs and Achilles, is that like they just don't have the confidence in their legs as opposed to their legs being actually healed. So in that sense, I'm extremely happy. But another thing I want to quickly add is, and obviously I don't want to say the early crow because the series isn't done, anything can happen, but it's another kind of like showing of maybe the awards should be done a bit earlier. Because if Jokic wins MVP, I just think it's kind of frustrating. It annoys me in the AFL as well, because they do obviously a week out from the granny. Obviously, it's cool when you get a Cinderella story like Dusty or something like that. When you win the Brownlow, then into the flag. But I think it just needs to be done at the end of the regular season, because otherwise all these like issues come in with how your playoff performance is. That's just generally frustrating. But what do you guys think about that, Benny?
Yeah, well, we've seen it before. It's a minor thing to me, like in terms of when the awards are done, and we sort of know that this difference between the playoffs and the regular season and the way that teams look at them, ones that maybe are less established or have less experience, they place a higher level of regard on their seedings, whereas others will worry about making sure their rotations are perfect and that they're at full health and they'll manage players better along the way. And just the level of effort potentially for some teams as well. So it goes the whole way down in terms of like the difference between regular season and playoffs. And yeah, it's unfortunate for Jokic in a way. Like I just think it's unfortunate from the start because of the supporting cast that he is missing. But what was somewhat looked upon initially, I think, is maybe like, oh, how are the Warriors going to negotiate or like approach the Jokic situation? He's always going to have a size advantage. I think it's been turned around to like this is a complete mismatch for Denver. The speed in which the Warriors move the ball and in which they don't really have any answers on the perimeter has sort of led to Jokic being put in a position where, you know, he's probably by some going to be looked unfavorably on in terms of his MVP season. But, you know, if the Warriors lose that final game and the Mavs win, then he could be playing the Mavs without Luka right now. So, yeah. You know, in terms of when the awards are actually given out, like it would prevent some certain circumstances, but it's a minor thing in the end.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, I think it was bad when Dirk finished 67-15 and then lost to the We Believe Warriors in 07 in the first round when he won MVP. I do think like it would be better if we just status announced it like a couple of days after the regular season finished. I agree, but yeah, it's funny how looking into the series beforehand, I think I thought it was going to be like at least in six. I thought Jokic should just be dropping like a 40 burger and, you know, 12 assists, 15 ball kind of games, and the Warriors would struggle to figure him out. But yeah, as Benny just said, it's a complete mismatch at the moment, and I think like if you look at it, like Denver might have the number one player in the series, but the Warriors probably have 2-7. And the fact that like Kuminga isn't even playing, who was like really important during the regular season, kind of shows that it is a bit of a mismatch. Like the Warriors, like you could argue if Kuminga went to the Nuggets, he'd be the second best player. So yeah, I just think it's a mismatch. But in terms of the MVP thing, I think like, yeah, it is a minor thing, but it would be, it does suck that people are going to probably remember this now. If they, let's say they get swept, is like kind of a blight on Jokic, when it's more, I think in the regular season, what he did was incredible because he carried a team that you could argue would be like the worst team in the league without him to the sixth seed.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I think another thing, the masterclass that Draymond put on today with Jokic was just incredible. Like obviously talking about the mismatch, there's going to be plays where Jokic, it just looks way too large, way too skilled for anyone to guard, like when he's backing down someone like Wiggins or whatever. But Draymond's ability to keep Jokic out on the perimeter, either shooting threes, he was like 0-4, 0-5 today, or shooting long twos, was literally just incredible. He had 8 deflections, which is just an absurd number. But also just, he literally got into Jokic's head today. Like Jokic was cracking the shit. And I reckon it was a really awesome kind of thing to see, because you very rarely see a defensive player get in the absolute head of like an MVP caliber player. So I thought that was absolutely incredible. But yeah, I'm extremely optimistic about the Warriors at the moment. And it's nice given like the last few weeks of the regular season were pretty filthy. So I feel like we're looking pretty good, but let's segue onto another young bull, 20-year-old Anthony Edwards. He put up 36 points, in their game 1 win over Memphis, which I think everyone kind of had the series at like, what, like maybe a gentleman's sweep, maybe in 6. But how game 1 went has really kind of like flipped that for me. Like I still am picking Memphis, but, I'm definitely considering the Wolves to like push them to possibly 7. Give me your kind of like initial thoughts on Anthony Edwards. And then after we give a little chat about this, I've got the first edition of the landing game. Yags.
Yeah. I think his potential is probably through the roof. Like his ceiling is, he could be like a top 3 player in the league, maybe the best player in the league one day. With the mixture of like his athleticism along with his mental toughness, which is incredible. Like he's gone into his first playoff game ever and just been completely fearless. Kind of like, you know, like a really, like an all-time great kind of would, like a LeBron or like a Jordan, or like a Kobe. Just that fearlessness, like you know, I'm not putting him on their level yet, obviously, but when you see someone at that age do what he's done, like not only in the Memphis game, but also in the play-in game, and just all year, like even when he was having a down period during the season, his swagger and his confidence never really dipped. And I think that's a long way for a guy. He's in his second season. Like he's got so much room for improvement. It's not funny.
That's cool.
So I think, I think this series is really interesting because, like Memphis had one of the great like regular seasons. What did they finish? Like 58-24 or something? Something like that. Yeah. Like they just, you know, they were just like, there was a period, there was a game where they beat the Bucks by like 40 and they didn't even have Ja, I don't think. Like they were just flying. But I guess the question with them is whether the turnover game works in playoffs. And they really struggled in the half court against Minnesota, which is where their offense often stagnates. So whether they can turn that around and start creating more easy offense in the half court, because we know that in playoffs, the game slows to a different kind of speed. And you can't just rely on, you know, turnovers. And the other thing that Memphis need to figure out is, can they keep playing 10 deep? I think they probably need to go to like an 8 or 9 man rotation because, you know, like as we've seen with like Boston, for example, like when they went to the 8 man rotation in January, they went from being a mediocre team to the best team in the league. They were 27-8 since they went to that, made that change. So whether Memphis can figure something out and maybe they just play, you know, the Melton, Brandon Clark and someone else off the bench, like a Zaire Williams or something. But yeah, I don't know. I do think this probably goes 7 now. I agree.
Yeah. The thing I was going to say though, that is going to be interesting to watch, which you obviously touched on there, but might still be an issue is, and it was sort of the thing that we spoke about throughout the year amongst us, is that if they try to go to that 8 man rotation, like, there's no real hierarchy kind of after Jar. Like, you could sort of filter it out into tiers a bit. Like sort of Bane and Dylan Brooks and Jaren Jackson sort of all in there, as none of them are really twos at the moment. You sort of want them to be your three. And then you've got like another clump of about like, you know, 8 guys, which is fantastic for pummeling through teams in the regular season. But in terms of who you want on a night-to-night basis in the playoffs, you know, it's easier said than done to go to that like 8 man rotation of who can I rely on and who works in this matchup. And maybe it's a positive to say like you've got options matchup to matchup, but some of these players are quite similar also. So it'd be interesting to see where they go with it. As you said, in the half court as well, like it'll be interesting to see what Taylor Jenkins does. We don't know particularly what he's like in the playoffs. So it'll be back onto him a little bit now. Obviously it's on Jar as well, like to try and figure this stuff out. But, you know, I think you'd be looking to see if Taylor Jenkins can get them into some good spots in those half court sets.
I also think that like, it's funny, the Minnesota have 3 guys that can create their own shot in D'Lo, Edwards and Kat. Whereas like you could argue that Memphis have 1. Actually, Brooks can create his own shot, but even he like is inconsistent. So that it's a fascinating series now, because if they lose game 2, it's a long way back for Memphis.
Yeah, 100%. And like such a great year. And they'll start like I've got no concerns with Jar's mentality and whatever, but at the same time, a lot of those kind of like B players that you were talking about, that's when it kind of gets more in their head that, oh, okay, we're not pulling our weight. And then that's when you can get some issues. Like, with a lot of like off the bench players, that can be an issue. But another a little thing I also want to ask you guys is with like Kat, what do you kind of think about his mentality towards the playoffs, and do you think it can really kind of last in those really heavy moments? Because I've definitely got my questions with him, but what did you kind of see in the first game that was kind of like obviously a bit better than the play-in? But Benny, what do you think of Kat's performance in game 1?
I thought he played well in game 1, and I think he's really put a dilemma in Memphis's camp with what they're going to do with Steven Adams. Like Jaren Jackson Jr. is really foul prone, but they can't really get away with Stephen Adams being on the floor. And then the domino effect of that is their game's been so predicated on like offensive rebounding as well. So you take him out of the game, that's another like domino effect of that. So I think Cat in himself is just like causing a matchup issue. And there's some flow-on effects there, but I think we've sort of all somewhat in agreement with Cat in terms of like, I think ideally you probably want him to be your two. Like he just doesn't possess that killer instinct. And that's why like, it'd be really interesting to watch Anthony Edwards, because I think that he is like, he's got that in him, but like how much can you rely on a 20-year-old to continuously do that on a night to night? So maybe you get a couple of D-Lo games here and then Cat obviously has like maybe a hot game there, like, and you sort of stumble your way through and you can get yourself four wins. But in terms of Cat himself, he's a bit like, I don't want to say he's like AD, but he's in terms of that mentality, like I do see similarities there in the way that very sort of like somewhat lackadaisical at times and like overly talented, but sometimes like they can just come up a bit small in the big moments.
Yeah, I think I don't mind that comparison. Like they just, Cat and AD both have like moments where they just seem to drift out of games, and it's like for a quarter they're like not even on the court, and then you know they might play ball the next quarter, but it's like in that 12 minutes, what were you just doing?
Yeah.
They don't seem to have the...
Where were you, mate?
Yeah, like they, you know, can just go missing and they don't seem to have like the mental fortitude to... Well, like it's not, maybe not for mental fortitude, but they, not the awareness to be like, all right, well, I need to be great for the next 48 minutes.
Mm.
It's sort of like, not that they don't care, but more, I think they're having fun more than like, they're just like obsessed with winning.
Yeah. The other thing is like, there's, as you play like a game of 48 minutes, like your team goes, like it's a roller coaster the whole time. Like you're going to go through troughs, and it's in those troughs when like you need whoever your one is to sort of like, and maybe it's not always your one, like you sort of see with the Warriors when Steph's off the court, like Jordan Poole goes like, this is my fucking time. Like, so with Cat, like you sort of look in those lineups when like, say Anthony Edwards isn't on the court and you're like, okay, you played Stephen Adams off the court here. I reckon you can back down or get, you know, whatever you want on Jaren Jackson here. And as you said, like, you can just have times where it's like an 8-minute stretch of you've got a mismatch and what have you done?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And that brings us to the first game of how low would you go? So what we're going to do is, so given we spent a lot of content on Edwards and Poole, I'm going to list a few current NBA players, and you basically have to say, like, you can either have, so we'll start with Anthony Edwards because we're talking about him. So Anthony Edwards, so you can either have him for the rest of his career or these players for the rest of their career. Okay. So obviously if you've got an older player, you only get like a couple, you get less time with them. Right. So Anthony, I'll ask, we'll go, Yags, Benny. So I'll say a name, Yags, you answer, Benny, you answer. I make that clear. So, because the Zoom, you get like that lag. All right. So Anthony Edwards first. KD.
Me?
Oh, buddy.
Yags, Benny.
For the rest of my career, I'd take Anthony Edwards.
What's KD now? 35?
33, I think. 32?
No.
He's not 35.
He's slightly older than Steph, isn't he?
He's 33, I think, or 32.
Isn't he older than Steph?
No.
They'd be the same age because he was a freshman and Steph would have been a senior, wouldn't he, when he got drafted?
Yeah, I thought that, like, yeah, which would make him 35 because Steph just turned 35, didn't he?
That is not anyway.
Look it up whilst I think about the answer.
I know it's 35.
I'm going to take, because I think KD is 35.
KD is 33.
That makes it harder.
Welcome, Benny. That's why it's called the landing, not the bow.
God, that's quite difficult. I'll go.
It had to be quick. KD. Answers.
KD.
KD.
Yeah, because he's 2 years younger than I thought.
Yikes. AD.
Definitely Edwards.
Edwards.
You know, Edwards. That's
Brandon Ingram.
Edwards.
Edwards.
Garland.
Edwards.
Edwards.
Donovan Mitchell.
Edwards.
Edwards.
Chris Middleton.
Edwards.
Yeah, that one's an easy Edwards for me.
That was my last one. All right, so now let's jump to the Jordan Poole show.
Wait, go up the other way. Go like Edwards or LaMelo Ball.
I think that's easy.
What Edwards. Is it?
Yeah. I think Edwards over any of those guards just because he's different and he's more athletic.
Yeah, I think that's where
like, community like Edwards and Garland, like I love Garland, but I think Edwards' ceiling is so much higher. Because he's
Edwards or Jar.
Yeah, I was about to say that one.
Yeah.
So, I think like Edwards, it's very close. And the reason is
I think I'm taking Edwards.
Yeah, I find it really close because Edwards is 2 years younger, and I know we saw what we saw out of Jar last year in the playing game and getting into the playoffs, but I think we're sort of seeing slightly more out of Edwards, and he's doing it at a younger age. So, and you know those do it all wings, and his ability to sort of score at three levels makes it really hard for me. But I'll probably wait till the start of next year before I flip. Yeah.
Does that mean that we have Edwards the most? If you're starting a franchise with anyone, we're basically saying we're taking Edwards over most people, aren't we?
Kind of.
Like, if we're taking him over Jar. It's
really weird to say out loud, but I feel confident with it.
You'd obviously take Giannis, and you'd obviously take Jokic and Doncic. But apart from that,
what about who would you take, Kawhi?
No, I'd take Edwards because Kawhi's always injured.
Yeah, no, it's
Kawhi.
It feels really weird to say out loud, but I'm like,
if you told me Kawhi would be healthy for the next 5 years, I'd take Kawhi.
I've got a good one, Edwards or Booker.
Oh, that's good. I'd take Booker. I think Booker's pretty special. Edwards might have a higher ceiling, but at the moment, Booker's just a freak.
Yeah, which also probably has him below Tatum as well. So he's sort of like...
Yeah, but he's top 10.
Like, it's like upper third tier in terms of who you're starting your franchise with, kind of.
Yeah.
Like the really established young ones like Giannis and Luka. And
Edwards or Trey?
Edwards.
Yeah, I agree. Because
Trey
against any good defense, like we saw with the Miami game, like he's just torched.
But why I'm like kind of like starting with Edwards over Jar and Edwards over Trey is kind of the same thing. I just get concerned about those smaller guards holding up for a long 10, 15 year career. Like I just feel like Jar could be a little like Allen Iverson-ish.
Derrick Rose.
Which is kind of just concerning. Just because just the hits that he takes, and like obviously Jar's a very like smart player, but I'm just get more kind of willing to put my eggs in the bigger body, in the bigger like kind of like the bigger, yeah, like the like Edwards is what, 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah, 6'4", I think.
But he's built. Yeah. So I think
he's built like a football player. He's built like a wide receiver.
Literally, he's ridiculous.
But the other thing is like as well, like sort of it's been discussed, like outside of Steph and like Isaiah Thomas with the Pistons. There hasn't really been a small player who's the best player in the team to win a championship. Like, if Ja won the chip this year, he would be creating a bit of history.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Like, Iverson did win a chip.
Yeah.
So that's why you take your Edwards to build a team around.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a similar game with Jordan Poole. And we'll start with Yags, you're first. You got that?
Yeah. I got it this time.
So you get Poole for the rest of the career, who's 22 years old, or mm-hmm. the player I say.
Yeah.
KD. How old is KD, Benny?
KD.
As I told you, KD is 33.
The only reason I'll take Edwards over KD, but I wouldn't take Poole over KD because I don't know what Poole is outside of the Warriors team, even though I do think Poole would be great on his own team.
That's fair.
But you still don't know yet.
Benny?
Yeah. KD.
AD.
That is
Poole. I'll take myself over AD. Yeah.
What about Kawhi?
Kawhi.
PG.
Poole.
Donovan Mitchell.
Poole. PG can't do the things offensively that Poole can do. That's a good one. I actually would probably take Poole right now. I think he's a better decision maker. How old is Donovan? 24, 25,
yeah. I think he might be 25 now.
I'm
off on my ages, so I'll take Poole over Donovan. Better decision maker, better shooter. And I honestly think what we've seen recently, he's just as good at the rack.
Mm.
What about Beal?
Poole, definitely. That's no brainer for me. Beal's a scrub.
Poole.
Not a scrub, but like he's Beal's like maybe a fourth guy on a championship team.
That is carry on.
No.
Dude, Beal's definitely could be a third best player on your championship team. Mm. Awesome. But yeah, that ends the game, boys. Well answered.
Wait, go back to a couple of the ones from before. Quickly. Melo.
Poole.
Lemon.
Ooh.
What about Garland?
Garland.
So hard. It pulls us hard because he's playing on the Warriors and he's surrounded by all these great players. So it's hard to tell.
But I will also say that whenever we've had players out, he's been outstanding.
That's why I've taken him over a lot of those guys.
Last one, Siakam.
Poole, easily.
Yeah, Poole. Siakam's a weird one. He's also on a team that's got really good players around him. I don't think he's not the alpha on Toronto.
No, nor is Paul.
Barnes is better than Siakam, or will be better than him.
All right, boys, let's jump conferences and get into Nets and Celtics. Game one was absolutely outstanding. Probably one of the best round one games you'll ever see, just in regards to talent and how kind of like close it seems. Kyrie was brilliant. Celtics played more team ball. And got over the line on a Tatum game winner. But what I kind of want to ask you guys about is if, say, in this series, Celtics win in five, Tatum outjules KD. Because at the moment, I would say, given their outs, they're a pretty kind of close team in regards to missing key players. Like in regards to each game, you can't put the line any more than like what 4.5 points, like either way, 5.5 points. But is this the series where Tatum could take the torch from KD? Benny, you go first.
No, because the torch is currently with Giannis.
I'm not talking about that sort of player because they're randomly quite similar size. Obviously Kato's a bit taller, but Tatum's randomly was 6'10", like randomly. Because I reckon he's
6'9" at least.
Yeah, you can't think he's like 6'7", 6'8", but he's like randomly 6'10". But yeah, Benny,
you mean that Torch is the guy that you want to win you one game because he's a great shooter, like he's got all the weapons in the arsenal, like KD does.
I'm just talking about like in the last. I'm not saying even like to win one game. I'm talking about like obviously for the whole time that Tatum's been playing, that it's always been like, oh, like KD, like you'd pick KD over Tatum. But is this the series where, in regards to just being able to put it all together and kind of like be like the younger brother, so to speak, do you think that like after like beating kind of KD and out-dueling him, that from now on, like the general kind of like vibe that could be that you'd take Tatum over with KD?
No, I don't think so. I think that Boston's a really good team, and I think that what he has around him, compared to what KD has around him currently, I know Kyrie's there, but defensively they're a mess, especially with Simmons not playing at the moment. And you know, we can't predict that he's going to be back, but there's some rumors there. I just don't think that Tatum is currently near that tier of player. And I mean, I don't think I see. I mean, there's probably a world, like let's say like they lock up KD, and like this idea that we have that, you know, it's kind of like a world where you don't stop KD, he just misses. And maybe the idea around that changes, and I think KD would have to come back a peg. I think there's two pegs almost between these two. And really? I think if they were, yeah, I think if there was going to be, if they were going to be on level pegging after this, I can't see where Tatum goes past him. KD would have to come down a notch, and we change our opinion of what KD is as a player. I can't see Tatum getting into that level of player yet. And that's just purely looking at it from a perspective of the cast around him, the defensive capabilities of the players around him. And I think if you did a simple switch of one player to the other team, I don't think the Nets are anywhere near the team that like Boston would be with KD on that team, and vice versa. And I think the other thing is, like, there's an element of like Boston, Brooklyn's actually a really good matchup for players like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Whereas you've essentially got a whole entire lineup to throw at KD. And I just don't really see a world where that'll happen in my eyes.
Fair enough. Yikes.
I think you can. I think Tatum's evolution as a player has been like kind of like a bit like Booker's, where like every year he's gotten better and better. Like he hasn't had like the massive jump, but he's just sort of gradually gotten better and better, where now he's the best player on a team that I think will go to the finals. And where he's improved mostly is his playmaking. In the first half on Monday morning for us, he was passing the rock. He was finding open teammates, and he was attacking and making really good decisions, which I think in previous years he wouldn't have done. And I think that's got a lot to do with the coach and the system that they're running at the moment. But if you sort of look at Boston since January, since the turn of the new year, like they've been one of the best teams. They've been the best team in the league. And a lot of that comes down to the way Tatum has changed his sort of philosophy of the way he plays. I think he's gone from being quite selfish. We know that he really admired Kobe as a young kid, and he sort of modeled his game on Kobe, but he's sort of taken a leaf out of like the superstar's book of like, you can't just, you know, jack up bad shots. And he doesn't take like those dumb long range twos anymore. And I think he can sort of go past Durant. I think he's got top three in the league capabilities. You know, it's a tough sort of tier to crack at the moment because there's so many good players. And, you know, like you could argue he's never going to be like a Giannis level player. But I think he can be if he keeps. And the thing is, he's also great on the defensive end. Like he defended KD 37 times in that game. And KD was, 9 from 24 from the field?
Wow.
So I think it's a great series. I think Boston will win 4-1, maybe even sweep them. But that's not because the Nets aren't good. That's just because I think, as Benny said, it's a really good matchup for Boston because while KD and Kyrie can get 80 points a game between them, I think Boston score like 150 in every game. And once they get Rob Williams back, who's their best defensive big man, then I can't see a world in which Brooklyn beat them.
Yeah, see, I guess my kind of point is, and I was kind of putting that out there just kind of like to just like start some conversation as opposed to if I actually believe it. But I just kind of see it as a similar thing to when the Patriots played the Chiefs with that Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, a lot's happened since then. But I remember it kind of seemed like, oh, if Patrick Mahomes beat Brady, I'm not talking about the Super Bowl, I'm talking about the is it AFC
Championship?
Yeah. Where it was kind of like the narrative was there that, oh, if Mahomes beats Brady here, it's kind of his league. It obviously didn't end up happening. But, obviously you still got Giannis to deal with. But I just think there's a similar vibe because I do see a lot of similarities between Tatum and KD. Just their ability to kind of come in straight into the league and have playoff runs and kind of like obviously had some career troughs and some peaks. But at the same time, Tatum's always never kind of shied away from the moment and seems like he could be a really like all-time player. And my kind of thinking here is that round one series, KD's healthy, Tatum's healthy, and obviously there's always going to be the the supporting cast doesn't like match up to theirs and whatnot. But in regards to just kind of looking at comparing those two and their different narratives, I definitely reckon there's a world where if Boston and convincingly win and Tatum convincingly like outplays KD, that going into next year you could be like, oh, like even despite the injuries to the Nets and the matchup and whatever, at the end of the day, Tatum showed up and KD didn't really have anything to answer to him.
I've got a question for you, Benny, and obviously you, Ollie, as well. But let's say Boston make the finals or win the chip. Then they would have beaten the Nets, the Bucks, Miami or Philly, and then Phoenix or Golden State probably. Now, that would be an absurd run. If he did that as their best player and won Finals MVP, where would you have him ranked?
Oh yeah, it'd be like right there, top five player. Yeah, like when I say like there's tiers between these players. I think currently how I sort of view it is it's Giannis and KD at the top for me.
Not Jokic.
Luka, not Jokic for mine. Luka and. I think Embiid sort of like fluctuate between it. I don't think they've done enough to justify being in it from an achievement standpoint yet. Especially sort of in the postseason. But I think that they're sort of knocking on the door. And then like in that second tier, if you want to have them in there, I think you sort of got them, Jokic. I think Steph's in there. And then I've sort of got, then you've sort of got that next and LeBron. I still think I'd sort of, he's going backwards, but I think out of respect, like you keep him in there, especially like when you're talking about head to head players and in situations, you're talking like one-off games when you're making these comparisons and stuff like that. And then Tatum is like at the top of that next bracket. And so like when I'm sort of saying like, I can't really see a world in this series where that happens. I just think there's not enough to achieve in this series or enough for KD to lose to switch them around. And now if Tatum was to do that run, like you might put him still in and around like Jokic. Let's wait and see what Steph does in this playoffs. Embiid as well. I think he could be right in there with those players, like the ones that are knocking on the door in that tier. And as I said, like it may also lead to us like reevaluating KD if he's sort of in and around that pack rather than above them. But I think it's just a little bit of a bridge too far. And like you, I foresee that happening, like his career trajectory, age, the way he's progressing and plays on both ends, and he's developed the parts of his games that were initially looked at as flaws. I can see it happening. I just can't see it happening in this playoffs.
That's very fair. So you've got KD, like, it could be a fair way ahead of the rest.
whether you want to define it as a fairway, I think there's a tier break is the way I would describe it. Yeah. And like if we review this, it could be three quarters of the way through the next season. Although, like, as we've sort of seen this year, not that I want to trot back on what we sort of said before with Jokic, like all facets of your game really get looked at. And, you know, we've already spoken about how Jokic sort of gets bailed out by what he's got around him and stuff like that now. But, you know, I do think playoffs take a massive part in how we evaluate a player. So whether it's 12 months from now in the next playoffs or even towards the back end of next season and Tatum, rather than being in that 4-5-6 MVP argument this year, is in that 1-2-3-1, you know, then I can start talking about it, I think.
Well said, boys. Absolutely love that. Quickly, for our final thing, let's go through the playoff series. And do you reckon we go just like who, like kind of the series score? Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Start with Hawks Heat.
4-0.
4-1. I just think Miami are prone to just being stupid one game.
If it was interesting though, I read an article in The Ringer about Bam is the perfect foil for Trey.
Yeah.
And like there were some highlights where like literally Trey got so like flustered by him, he was just throwing the ball away.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Like he could have they could have an off day. But
yeah, and
that series, I thought that series might be interesting. I thought Trey could be able to like go off, but if they lock him up, because the problem with the Hawks is they've got nothing else.
Yeah.
If he's not firing.
4-1.
Yeah, and the one thing like I think Trey knows it as well because from what I saw of the game, when you are a point guard, you tend to try and bring out the center for your mismatch, and he was trying to bring out the wings or the opposing point guards, trying to get like Tyler Hero or something like that onto him as opposed to going after Bam. So, you know, we're only one game in here, but you could come to the assumption that it's already in Trey's head.
Yeah. He had 8 points. That. We'll go through the two shitty series first. Pelican Suns.
Sweep.
I want to flirt with a 4-1 here. I thought the Pelicans in the first half of that game looked like a young team that was like, shit, we're in the playoffs playing the best team in the league. But in the, and you know, maybe it was just the sun switching off, but I thought that they settled into the game a little bit better and they seemed to be able to get some nice offense going. Whether they could win one at home, I'll go sweep maybe after all that.
Sweepy for me as well.
I'd love to see CJ win one.
Yeah, I just think like CJ and BI could pop off in a game and win one of their ones at home. But I think if Phoenix are like serious about winning these titles, the advantage they really need to keep is like these first two series, whilst like the other two competitors on the other side bang it out on the way through, is to keep their series real short so they are fresh as for
especially for Chris Paul's sake.
Yeah.
Because we know that he can get injured late in playoffs.
Yeah. Raptors, Philly.
No Barnes, potentially.
I think it'll be now. What's 2-0 at the moment? I think it'll be 4-1. I thought it was going to be going to 7, but they've got too much top end talent for Toronto to deal with.
Yeah, I said 4-1 as well, Benny.
I think I would have said Philly in 6 before Scotty Barnes got injured. And I think he still might come back, but I think that's just sort of enough to continue to give Philly some extra confidence. Don't forget, Thibault can't play the next two games.
Yeah.
I'll go 6. 5 after all that.
Yeah. Nice. Timberwolves, Memphis.
I reckon...
Oh, it's a good one.
I reckon Memphis in 7. And that's the series of the... Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, this... Yeah, it's probably the series of the whole playoffs of the first round. Because I think Celtics will beat the Nets in five.
Yep. Benny?
I think Memphis in six. I think you get 1-1 splits at both stadiums. Memphis holds at home, and then I don't know if I can trust Minnesota to take it back to a game seven after that.
I don't mind that. I'll tell you what's good about this that series is they both got amazing home crowds. Like, I didn't realize that Minnesota, when they played that Clippers game, like, yeah, where did that home crowd come from?
Yeah, they've got the best. Like,
I think of Minnesota as like a really big football town, but they were nuts.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah, I've got Memphis in seven as well. All right, Jazz Mavs.
Ooh. If Luka is back in the next game, which it sounds like he will be, even if he's at 70%, I think the Mavs win in six. Or two Mavs, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go Mavs in six. Same result as
Memphis.
With Memphis. Split again, maybe because Luka's health, and then Mavs after that.
Yeah, I got Mavs in seven. I would have said Utah if they hadn't won today.
Jalen Brunson has saved their season. Incredible game.
I agree.
Season at the moment.
The mental sort of thing that will have, like, we already knew.
We know how much that'll kill Utah. You can see them coming out in game three and just having an absolute nightmare.
That's it.
They did with the Clippers last year when Kawhi got injured. Like, they just still couldn't get past them.
Warriors and Nuggets?
4-1. I think game four, Jokic staves off a sweep by going berserk. And I think you guys, the Warriors are due a poor shooting night.
Yeah, 4-1.
Yeah, I'm the same. And Bucks, Bulls.
Sweep. Real easy for me.
You know what? Like, the Bulls played really well in game one.
Agreed. I think the Bucks played real bad.
Yeah. So I think,
like,
yeah,
Middleton and Holiday were
like,
not
they played
good.
Badly, and the Bulls played well. Although DeRozan shot like 20% or something awful.
Yeah, but that's because, like, the Bucks are a shocking matchup for DeRozan. Like, Middleton, Holiday, Giannis helping.
Yeah, it's all
Serge Ibaka even, like, it's not great. Brooke Lopez protecting the rim.
You sort of worry about the Bulls' future. Like, they've had this one really good year, which really petered out, and it's like, where do they go from here? If LaVine leaves, they're all of a sudden in a bit of no man's land again.
Yeah.
That Vucevic piece, they need to sort that out. And don't forget, they don't have Lonzo.
Mm. Yeah, I know that. But, like, if it was like Lonzo, they lost LaVine for nothing because he's a free agent, and they had, like, Lonzo and DeRozan as a backcourt with Caruso. Like, you know, they'll make the playoffs, but they're not ever going to be anything.
Yeah.
What's your score in the series? Oh, yeah. Have you said it?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Getting along here. I think Benny's right. It'll be a sweep considering the Bulls played really well in game one and still couldn't win.
Yep. And Celtics Nets.
4-1 to the Celtics. I think Brooklyn win game three and then Boston win game four and close out in five.
Celtics in six.
Are the Nets in seven?
Ooh, imagine that. So you got KD going into Boston. Or does Kyrie, who wins in the game seven? Kyrie or KD?
Kyrie.
The villain.
That'd be so cool.
See, I'm a Knicks fan, so I don't know who I hate more, but I mean, I do like the Celtics team, but sort of funny. I think
if you're a Knicks fan, you can be more comfortable that the Nets won't win at all than if the Celtics were to advance.
Yeah. All right.
Giannis would steam the shit out of the Nets, I think.
From what we've seen so far, who do we have making both conference finals?
Conference finals.
Yeah.
Warriors, Suns.
Yeah.
Bucks. Oh, I need to look at the bracket, but Bucks,
It'll be Heat or Sixers in the next round.
So, wait, a Bucks on Heat Sixers?
No, Bucks or Celtics or Nets. So it'll be Bucks versus Heat or Sixers.
Oh, Bucks Heat.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think it'll be Celtics Sixers, which is a shame because it really should be Celtics Bucks. I think that would be the that deserves to be the conference final.
Yeah.
And then such a weird year. And then in the West, yeah, I do think as much as I've been on Memphis all year, from what I've seen from the Warriors, it seems I think that would be the best series, Phoenix Warriors. That would be incredible basketball.
And I'm gonna go Bucks and Sixers, and I'll go Warriors and Suns.
Love it.
I'd love to see like Suns Warriors is interesting because like the Suns play like they don't shoot threes, like they don't like hit the boards, they don't get free throws, but they just have this amazing mid range game. I do wonder if that, surely you could exploit that.
Yeah, well, I think the thing that has really buoyed me, and I sort of said this to Ollie the other day, is that part of me would be more scared, I think, of Memphis than of the Suns. We don't give a damn, like we're young, no one really, even though we finished above you, no one's expecting us to beat you except for Kendrick Perkins. I think that the unknown of them, like we play them in a playing game and that's really it kind of, but we know CP3 backwards, and the confidence that I have gained out of seeing two games of Draymond and maintain Jokic, I think that we can do enough with Booker and Paul that if it's like Ayton, here's the ball 25 times, that's fine by me. Like that is an absolute, that's a win. So I'd be feeling better, especially if the Warriors get to that point. Like you got to think they're at a certain level that to have a level of confidence at that point.
Great. Well, let's wrap it up, boys. Absolutely outstanding pod. I reckon we fire one up again next week or the week after, depending on how the series are tracking. But thanks for coming on again. Cheers, Benny.
Thank you.
Thanks, boys. Loved it.
Cheers, Yags.
Thank you, boys.
And we'll catch you next time.